I hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody's losing weight. I pray about losing weight, but then I figured I'm going to have to do more than just pray about it. I said, Lord, help me to lose weight, and I keep eating, and it doesn't work. So I figured one thing out. I've been trying to drink like a gallon of water a day. And I don't know if that's flushing anything out or not, but hopefully it slows my appetite down. I don't know why I even started out there. Let's get into something that makes sense. All right, the book of Galatians. Galatians. All right, we left off in the middle. We talked about the commencement of Paul. At the beginning, the first few five verses of the book, of the chapter, and how he started off and how he introduced himself and how he defended himself. The second part, we're talking about the concern of Paul. And so, if you'll look in your Bible here to verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men, or God? Do I now seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For neither received I it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, let's pray and we will begin. Brother Ashton, can you please begin us with prayer? Amen. So the first thing that we already went through is we went through the marvel of his concern, and he was marveling that they were so soon removed from the gospel. This comforted me and helped me that Paul's converts sometimes didn't pan out either. Now, that wasn't good for his converts, but it was good for me because sometimes we'll lead someone to the Lord and we'll work with somebody and we'll think, man, this person gets it, and they don't pan out. Paul had led these people to the Lord. He confirmed them. He ordained elders in their cities. And then he said, I marvel, how did you so quickly turn aside what I commanded you and what I taught you into something else? Now, I don't keep the book of life. I don't know who's saved and who's not. And evidently, Paul did not either. But he marveled that that happened. And then he marveled at how that they forsook him and were turned to something else. So we went through that, and then we looked at the matter of his concern, which where we left off, and the matter of his concern was that they, in verse 7, that they were perverting the gospel of Christ. Now, how were they perverting the gospel? But they were adding something to the gospel. And so what we went over last Wednesday night is that if you want to go to heaven, you take Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you want to go to hell, you take Jesus and something else. I have Jesus, but I also need to be baptized. I have Jesus, but I need to do this. Trying to do more to make you saved actually works against you. You should work from salvation, not to salvation. The only thing that can make you acceptable in the sight of God is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's always been the blood. The blood of bulls and goats put it in remission. they would sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And when they did, God would remember their sins no more for a year. But the blood of Jesus Christ can take away your sins. When God looks at me, He doesn't see what I have done and what I have not done. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the only hope that anybody has. So if you want to go to heaven, trust Christ. If you want to go to hell, trust something else. Anything else. So that was that we went over. And so the second thing about this that he said, look at verse 7, which is not another. So if you add anything to the gospel, it's not another gospel. Somebody asked me, or they were asking, I think it was Brother James Navarro, they said, well, can you have more than one way to heaven? And he said, well, they already had all these ways to heaven. They had all these Greek gods and everything, and it wasn't sufficient. They had Judaism. That wasn't sufficient. So Jesus Christ came, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. There is not another way. He's the only way. And he's the only truth and the only life. There will be some that would trouble you, which would pervert the gospel of Christ. And so, not only did we see the perverting of the gospel, but we saw the perturbing or the making of the redeemed where they would trouble you. Now, listen, the true gospel is the only thing that can bring tranquility and peace to mankind. It's the only thing that can bring you peace. But the perverted gospel disturbs. It says they would trouble you. That's disturbed with various emotions such as fear. Have you noticed either in your life or in the life of other people that believe you have to perform to be saved are always troubled? Have you noticed that? Maybe you can look back when you were not quite sure of your salvation. And you say, well, if I do this, I might not be saved. And what if I'm not doing this? And maybe I needed to be doing more than this because a Christian should be doing more of this. And you know what that is? That's troubling. You know how they troubled them? They said, the grace of God is not enough. You have to be circumcised. You have to keep the law of Moses. And anything that is not resting in the finished work of Christ is troublesome. If you meet people and you witness to people from other religions, they are always trying to achieve to be made acceptable in God's sight. And no matter how hard you work, there's just something that tells you, you're just not good enough. And so it troubled them, and it was just difficulty. Why were they troubled? They were adding things to it. What if my son died and he didn't get circumcised yet? What if I was on the way to the hospital? Why are you saying circumcising? Because they were adding that in this passage to the gospel. What if I was on the way to the hospital and I decided that I was going to be circumcised but then didn't get circumcised and died in a chariot wreck and died? Where would I go? That's troubling. Well, what if I got saved but I didn't get baptized yet? But I decided that I was going to get baptized. What if I died? Where would I go? What if I, when I got saved, I didn't... You know, I forgot to mention that sin and that sin, and I didn't even know that was sin yet. And if I have to confess all my sins to receive Christ, what if I forgot about that? And any time you add works to the gospel, it just throws everybody and everything into turmoil. Look what else it does. Look at verse 4. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4. It says this, and that because of false brethren brought in unawares, who came in privily, that's privately, to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ, that they might bring us into what? Bondage. You know what a false gospel does? It troubles people. You have to do this to be saved. You have to act this way. You have to dress this way. You have to come to church this many times. And if you're not doing this, then you're not saved. You know what Jesus came to do? He came to set people free from the shackles of religion. Amen. And you know what a good, if you are a good preacher of the gospel, and you are a good minister into your community, you know what you will do? You will set people free from the shackles of religion. I remember when I got here to pastor and I said, well, there's nothing in the Bible that says we have to go to church 3 times a week, so I can't require more than God does. And so I was really scared and I got in the pulpit and my heart was pounding. I'm like, you know, the Bible doesn't say we have to go 3 times a week. But, you know, we do come because we love the Lord and we want to fellowship with the brethren and we want to worship God. And it's better than staying home and watching television, but I can't put that on you that God did. I mean, they met every day in the Bible and we only meet 3 times a week, but I can't put that on you. And you know what happened when I showed that it was something you should want to do and not something you had to do? You know what happened? The Sunday night attendance and the Wednesday night attendance increased. Right? You don't have to go knock on doors every Saturday or once a month or every Thursday to be right with God, but you have to witness. You have to let your light so shine before men. And it, you're still backslidden if you come here on Thursday and don't witness to people. And when we let people go from the shackles of religion and we give them freedom to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's not because I'm guilty. I hope to the Lord that you never come to church because of what the preacher will think about you if you don't come. What good is that motive? I hope you never come because of what brother so-and-so or so-and-so thinks about you. You know why the Lord wants you to come? More to edify one another. If you read about it in Hebrews chapter 10, the point of you coming wasn't for your own good, it was for someone else's good. To be a blessing to someone else because you love the Lord and you want to serve Him and you want to be around His people. I want the motive, and what we want and what God wants is He wants the motive to be pure, and He doesn't want to bring you into bondage. And bondage, that's not good. And there's a lot of religions and a lot of people, including Baptists, and I've even done it, not that I'm perfect, but bringing people into bondage. And He says that troubles you. Look at what else they do in verse 1, how they trouble you. Chapter 3 and verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has evidently set forth crucified among you? This only I would learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? They've bewitched them. That's satanic, teaching them that they were going to receive the Spirit by sanctifying themselves, and but you can't work to receive the Holy Spirit. They bewitch. Have you ever been bewitched by this adding works to the gospel? I have. I've been troubled. God bless my father, and thank the Lord I had a good father, and I love him, right? He's in heaven. But when I got saved, the first person I told was my father. And I said, Dad, I got saved. I received Christ as my Savior. He said, what'd you get saved from? I said, hell. I'm not going to hell anymore. He said, well, did you get saved from your sins? I said, I don't know. He said, well, Matthew 1:21, he'll save his people from their sins. And if you're still sinning, you're not saved. I never sin. And I knew that wasn't true, but it still bewitched me. It confused me. And I saw certain actions that I did, and I knew that they were sin. And so from the time that I got saved till I was 9, to when I went to Bible school and I started learning some Bible, I was bewitched and I was never sure of my salvation. I remember I went to Bible school and the preacher would give an invitation. And we learned last week about my friend Chad that would want to get saved. I was like, man, I wish I had as much guts as he did. But I don't know, it just wouldn't do any good because I've been saved 500,000 times. You know? I went to, one preacher said, you know, if you're doing this, this, and this, you're not saved. You know what Charles Finney did? He went out in the wood and hid under a tree and stayed out there for 8 hours begging God to save him. Maybe you need to do that. And so I went out in the woods and hid under a tree, and I didn't make it 8 hours. I made it about 8 minutes. I said, I guess I'm not Finney. I'll never be saved. You know, I can't beat off these mosquitoes. But it's funny now, but coming up from 9 to 17, all the things that I went through as a teenager, not knowing if I was saved, struggling with my salvation, I was so troubled. I was bewitched. And you know what I try to tell people? If you're saved, you should struggle with sanctification, not salvation. Look, I got saved. I'm secure in Christ. But I need to stop doing this, this, and this. And once you're... you can't be a good Christian until you know you are one. You can't. You can't try to become. You have to work from Christianity, not to Christianity. So they trouble, they trick you, they hurt you with words, they bewitch you. A gospel that includes work causes men to fear that they have not been good enough. Good works to be saved or to keep you saved bewitches you. And you will notice that there is a shift among Christians to add works to the gospel after they have been saved through the gospel of Christ. They're trying to make their salvation more sure, but you know, most of the times the people that come up with this stuff got saved the same way you and I did. They add it to it like the Galatians did later. Now, we're going to look to the matter of concern. We're going to look from that, and now we're going to look at the malediction and the concern, and that just means accursed. It's just a fancy word that starts with M that matches the outline. And it says, though, verse 8, though we or an angel... You know, and it's not an outdated word. Disney has a piece of trash that they put out called Maleficent, right? And that's what this word is. Mal, evil, addiction is to speak, right? So, that's what it is. I asked my neighbor. My neighbor was coming up, and I said, what do you think about the word malediction? He said, that's a good word. I said, what does it mean? He said, it means a curse. I said, do you think it's a confusing word? He said, no. But he is a physicist, so that might... He said, I like that word. So I said, okay. All right, look at verses 8 and 9. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, and that was... What was the gospel? Where was it? 1 Corinthians 15, right? The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So he places a curse on the people that preach any other gospel. He said, you are cursed if you preach any other gospel. So preaching a perverted gospel brings a curse on themselves. That means many preachers will experience this curse that the Bible talks about. Any other gospel, and there's 1,000 other gospels, but there's one true gospel. You know, people say there's a million ways to heaven. I said, is there a million answers to your math problem? 2 + 2 = 4, or there's just one answer? There's one answer. The truth by nature is very, very narrow. It's not broad. There's a lot of wrong answers, but there's only one right answer. You're bringing a curse on yourself. Look at this verse. This is somebody, this is one of those Judaizers. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under what? A great curse till we have bound... Listen, if you preach another gospel and you say there's a different way to get to heaven than by grace through faith plus nothing, you've cursed yourself. You know what that means? That means you will be damned and you will go to hell. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the only way to go to heaven. And so they bind themselves under a curse. And they even said, we're not going to do anything until we've found Paul and we've killed him. Because Paul was preaching this, and they were saying that it had to be works. So what happens? You bring a curse on yourselves. And many people have said this. They say, make love, not war. And it might have been a popular slogan, but it's not possible. Doctors have to make war with the disease. Sanitary engineers, they have to engineer things and they have to come up with things against pollution. Legislators have to fight injustice and crime. And they all fight it because of something they love. Look in your Bible at Psalm chapter 97 and verse 10. Psalm 97, 10. The Bible says, ye that love the Lord, what do you do? That's not popular, but it's true. You should hate evil. He that perverteth the souls of his, he that preserveth the souls of his saints, he delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Ye that love the Lord, you hate evil. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. You know what Paul was doing? He's saying those people that they're preaching that false gospel, you got to stand against him. You have to. He was waging a war against these false teachers. And we're going to see how strong it gets here in a second. He says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 10. Very important verse. Titus 3 and verse 10. And the Bible says here, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, do what? Reject. A heretic after the first and second admonition, reject him. Let him be accursed. One more reference, Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. Matthew 23, and look at verse 13. Woe unto you, scribes, there's the curse, the woe from Jesus, and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. You know what that is? That's a curse. Why? Could they're preaching another gospel and they receive the greater damnation. Think about the people that preach false gospels. You know what the Bible says about them? They're going to receive a greater damnation. That means when they go to hell, they're going to burn hotter. They're going to go there, and they're going to receive the greater damnation because of what they did. And he said, when you preach this false gospel, it's not anything to mess around with. You get a curse, and Jesus shows you that you'll have greater damnation. Think about the Catholic priests that lie to people every Sunday. Think about it. We have family members there that are on their way to hell, and they're telling them, If you just eat this cookie and you do these things, you'll be okay. That's judgmental. No, it's not judgmental. It's biblical. Isn't that what he says? Let him be accursed. Think about the Jehovah's Witnesses that knock on the door all the time and tell you that there's no hell. And Jesus was the brother of Satan. They won't tell you that till a long time later. Jesus wasn't God. Think about them. I was working at a nursing home, and there was a man named Mr. Rosa, and he was old man there on the way out. And I went there every day, and he wanted me. I was a maintenance man, and I'd clean his razor out. That's one thing I did for him. It wasn't part of my job. I just did it to be kind, and I'd get his razor, take it out to the shop with the air compressor, blow it out, and bring it back. And I got to witness to him. And I say, Mr. Rosa, you need to get saved. And he had his rosary beads, and he'd thumb them, and he'd say, I don't need salvation, I have this. I said, no, that's not good. You need to be born again. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. And he said, why is that? I said, because you're a sinner. You're on your way to hell. And I start giving him the gospel. And I said, what do you think about that? He said, I'm going to think about it. I'm going to think about it. And then every week the priest would come by to give him the cookie. And I come in the next day to clean his razor out, and you ready to get saved? He said, no, the priest told me I'm okay. I don't need to listen to you. He said, I'm okay. No, I'm good. And all week I'd work on him. You ready to get saved? I'm thinking about it. I really need to get saved. And then the next week the priest would come and give him the cookie. You want to get saved? Think I'm okay. I was there when he died. And he died clutching those rosary beads and holding them to his chest. And he died and went to hell. I believe that. I remember walking out and I had this crescent wrench in my hand. And I was just crying. And I just took it. And as hard as I can, I threw it at the dumpster. And told my boss, I'm going home. And I went home. Because it was so upsetting to me. And Paul said, those people, they're coming in there and they're lying to you and they're preaching a false gospel. He said, let them be accursed. And you know what the Galatians might have said? They might have said, what about them? Do they not have a soul? He said, let them be accursed. Think of all the people that went to hell because of Darwin's gospel. He said, let him be accursed. He said, woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You enter not in yourselves, and them that are entering in you hindered. Elamus, the sorcerer, they bewitch you. It's satanic. For so his name, by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn the deputy away from the faith. And that's what these people are doing. And he said, let them be accursed. Who? We or an angel from heaven? If any man, he doesn't exclude anyone from that curse. Not even himself. Not even angels are exempted from it. He said, let him be damned. Let him be accursed. You know, Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, claimed he was visited by the angel Moroni, who informed him the true gospel that had been corrupted after the apostolic age and had been absent from the earth for 19 centuries. And he viewed his calling to restore true Christianity to the world. And Mormonism is a gospel based on self-effort and submission to baptism for regeneration, and the acceptance of Joseph Smith as God's end-time prophet, a belief in inspired Mormon scriptures. That's what their website says anyway. Islam teaches the angel Gabriel showed up to Muhammad in a cave. And you know, Muhammad was scared and he thought he had encountered a demon. And he said he was pressing me, and he thought he was going to push me into hell. And he went, and his wife, he married some old hag, I don't know who she was, And he went and she convinced him that that was God's angel bringing him a message and he had to give it to the world. And think about all the people that are going to hell because of that. I know this isn't popular, but look, I knocked on a door over here about four streets. You go across the dairy about four streets down and I could take you right to the house. And I knocked on the door back there. I don't remember who was with me. And there was someone, and he had these long fingernails. He said, "Come on in." He said, "I've been expecting you." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, an angel told me you were going to come." Look at Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 5. He said, "An angel told me you were coming, and he told me what you were going to tell me, and he gave me a verse to show me that you were lying." I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, have you ever seen the Bible?" And I went through the Bible and I told him, I said, "You must be born again." And he said, "That's what that angel said you were going to say." And he said, "Here's a verse, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 5. He said, they are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, but they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither is it in them to do any good." He said, not to be afraid of you, because you were going to tell him he needs to be born, but I don't need to be born again. That verse is not about salvation. Isn't that crazy? And so I showed him this verse about an angel from heaven preaching another gospel, let him be accursed. And I showed him the verse how the devil shows up as an angel of light and he tries to get you to believe the wrong gospel. And that's what he did all the way back in the garden. That you can get it a different way. Eat this and you'll be as a god. And you know what the Bible says? It says, let him be accursed. And he says, look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 9, and he confirms it. Look at, he says it again in case you didn't get it. "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed." Any other gospel than the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Look at what he says here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 12. Look how Galatians 5 and verse 12. Look how strongly Paul felt about these people coming into the Galatian churches preaching this false gospel. Look how strong he felt about them. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 12. Look at that. Was Paul serious about this curse? He says, "I would they were cut off which trouble you." What does that mean? Do you know what it means? I wish they were cut off. I wish they were cut off that trouble you. Look at this verse. It's up here. If you want to mark it down, you can. 2 John in verse 10. "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, salvation by grace through faith, invite him in and maybe you'll be able to be a good influence on him." He said, "Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses tell me, "I respect what you're doing." I'm like, "Well, good, because I'm doing the right thing. But I don't respect what you're doing." And they've said, "Good luck." I'm like, "Why would you wish me good luck? I'm telling everybody that you're lying. If I get my way, every one of your places will shut down. Why would you wish me good luck?" Thank you, but bad luck. I had an old preacher, his name was Mike Pearl, right? And they would come in the country, they have to drive up. They can't come knocking on your doors. And so he sees them driving up down the road. And he knows who they are because they call and says, "They're coming up your way, preacher." So he sees them and he comes out and he comes running to the hood of their car. And he said, "Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God." And he's bouncing the car. And he said, they turn around and they said, "I hope your car breaks down. And I hope you fail miserably." They never came back. You know, that the thing is people were like, "I would never do that." Look, it said, don't accept them. Paul's view of those who teach others and leave Christ out. Here's Paul views the sin of those who teach others to leave Christ out as being a greater sin than those that leave Christ. He said, that's a greater sin. Don't accept him. Don't fellowship with him. Don't try to slowly win him. You know, I remember when I was a kid, and I've told this story in the youth class up there when I was teaching the teenagers last Sunday, and I told my kids the other night, but I was sitting on a bench, and it was right before I got saved, and there was this old preacher, and his name was Victor Stoll, and he had this Parkinson's disease. You know, he shakes like this. And he always kept his hand in his pocket to try to keep balance. And it was in Finger, Tennessee, at an old Mennonite church. I was there. And he didn't preach like a Mennonite preacher. And he's shaking. And he said, "You young people," he said, "you're mocking and you're sneering and you're laughing when you're giving you the truth." He said, "You're going to die and go to hell." And I was sitting next to a kid named Blake Beachy and another one named... There was another Nathan Stoll or something in there. And they're all snickering and smiling and laughing and pointing. And I just turned white. I'm like, I'm not going to be a part of this. But you know what they never did? They never kicked him out. They never said, "Look, this is a church for Christians. You don't believe in God. You think it's a joke. Get out of here and leave." You know why they didn't do that? They wanted to reach them. They wanted to win them. They wanted to have a chance with them. And so you know what happened? Those devils, they corrupted some of the other kids in that congregation. And one of them died as a heart attack and went to hell. And a bunch of them, they became atheists and they walked away and they don't even believe God created the earth anymore. Why? They wouldn't let him be accursed. It's a very sad thing, but it's a very biblical thing. You have to let them go and focus on the ones that want to serve God. You know, it's very sad. For a lot of my life, I've been putting my greatest energy into the ones that don't want to instead of the ones that do want to. You know what God says? Let him be accursed. Let him go. Put your energy in the ones that want to serve God. And then lastly, look at the message in his concern. Verse 10. "For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Paul was called by God. He said, "I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for neither received I of it of man, neither was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So he's addressing the fact that the true gospel message and how we received it. And he says, I'm going to show you how this is not of man. I'm not repackaging somebody else's stuff. This came from God. And the true gospel comes from the Lord. And he proves it here in this passage. He said the first thing he's showing is the motive in his speaking shows that this gospel didn't get people's favor. Do I now seek to please men or God? And if my motive was making a great name for myself, then this message would be very pleasing to man and it would be not getting me trouble, but it would be getting me fame and recognition. He said, "Why do you Galatians, why do you think I'm preaching this? Do you think they say it's for my benefit, but look, does it get people's favor or does it get their anger?" There was a musician, Verdi, and he produced his first opera in Florence. And the composer stood by himself in the shadows when they were performing that. And he had his face on one man in the audience, Rossini. He was a great musician because he didn't care what everybody else thought. He only cared what the master musician thought. And he was looking for a smile of approval from the greatest musician. And you know what Paul said? My approval comes from God. I'm not trying to please men. Why would I need to do that? Why would I need to seek man's approval when I have the Lord's approval? He said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 11, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? In Galatians 5:11, he said, if I was preaching what they were preaching, I wouldn't suffer persecution. The proofs of the gospel being persecuted and what Paul and the other people went through to be able to give it are one of the reasons for it being authentic. Why do people lie? Do they lie to get into fame, power, money, prestige, position? They lie to get out of trouble. Do they lie to lose their jobs, to lose their wealth, to lose their life, to lose their position, and to get into trouble? Do they? That's not. That. Look, if Paul was preaching a false gospel, he said it would please men. He said, my message doesn't please anyone. He said the reason that they want to, in Galatians chapter 6, is add these works to you is so they can glory in your flesh. So they can look good in front of all their people because they, you know, that's kind of like Independent Baptist sometimes. You know, they concern more about you looking right than being right. Now, I think you ought to look right, but I think you ought to be right, more importantly. And they're more important than everything being this than the person being right with God and close to God. Why? Because that makes them look good. It makes me look good if everybody comes in here with a three-piece suit and tie on and their shoes shined. Oh, look at that, everybody, you know? But what if they're not right with God? God wants you to be right with Him. He don't want you just to look right. They left great jobs. The source of the message, it was not after men, neither received it of men, but it was from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it proves that this wasn't a counterfeit gospel. You know how you know a good man didn't write the Bible? Because he wouldn't have wrote all men are liars, because that would have included himself. You know, he wouldn't have wrote all men at his best state are altogether vanity. And what wicked man would write the Bible and have the things the Bible says say, the wicked shall be turned into hell? And a wicked man's not going to write that. And a good man's not going to write all men are liars. So it had to be God that wrote the Bible. Man would have never invented or devised a gospel that would lay him low and say that he is nothing and everything should be done to the glory of God. Here's what Paul said about himself. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is what Joseph Smith said about himself. I have more to boast than any man ever any man had. I am the only man that has ever been able to keep a whole church together since the days of Adam. Neither Paul, John, Peter, nor Jesus ever did it. I boast that no man ever did such a work as I. The followers of Jesus ran away from him, but the Latter-day Saints never ran away from me yet. Isn't that crazy? Do I seek to... I mean, that is like satanic. It's lunacy. If you tell them that God made the world out of something, they'll call you a fool. But I am learned, and I know more than all the world put together. You know what that quote also shows? It shows the culture shift in America. Because back then, if you told the people that God made the world out of something, they said, you're crazy. He made it out of nothing. Now they say you're crazy if he makes it out of nothing. Now the world is saying what Joseph Smith said all the way back then. It's not of man. It wasn't received of men. Paul puts himself down and he puts the Lord Jesus Christ up. He was not a retailer of other men's stuff. He preached what he'd been taught by the Holy Ghost himself. All right? And we're going to stop there, and next week we'll go into the next section, which is the change in Paul, which is the next proof that he gives for the gospel. Let's stand and we will be dismissed in prayer. Thank you for coming. Lord, we thank you so much, Father, for everybody that came tonight. God, if there's somebody here that's not saved, Lord, I pray that you would work on them and bring them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. And I pray that all our lifetime we would be faithful to the true gospel. And I pray this in Jesus' name.